This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
4 o'clock hour here, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We will talk to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World coming up at 4:30, live from sunny Florida with Derek Johnson. I'm Nick Schwert. I'll be taking off here at about 4:45. The last high school sports weekly of the year will be joined, David Lawrence and myself, out at Set 'Em Up Jacks with the Free State baseball team. The final episode of the year before we resume next fall. So, of course, come join us as always, and you can hear it right here on KLWN from 6 to 7 o'clock. But we got to move up our news break to make way for Matt Tate. So it's time for your Tuesday news break, and we're going to start with a girl by the name of Danielle Brigoli. But if you know of her, you probably only know of her as the Cash Me Outside girl. And yes. I don't even like saying it. Cash Me Outside.
It's because you're not committing all the way to it. You're like, it's like those people when you're in a Spanish class in high school, and when they're reading over the words in Spanish, when you have to do like group reading, yeah. They're saying it in the most English accent possible.
How should I commit? How should I say it then?
Like, go, if you're going to do it, you got to go hard.
Well, give me an example of how
Cash Me Outside. How about that?
There we go. I'll just let you step in anytime I need to say it. So she went on Dr. Phil and challenged the audience to catch her outside. And she's 14. She was 14 or is 14? There's no way this girl is 14.
She looks way older than 14.
She looks like she's like 20. She's 14.
14 right now.
She's 14. And the reason that's relevant is because she's about to go on tour. She's taking her little act on the road after being spurred to fame by her appearance on Dr. Phil as a out-of-control teenager who's giving her mom all kinds of fits. Now she's got her 15 seconds of fame, and she's going to try and make some money off of it. According to TMZ, she signed a tour deal with Live Nation and could make as much as $50,000 an appearance if the show sells out. Now, the shows that she's doing, she's only doing two of them. These are like trial acts, at tryouts for a possible nationwide tour. Two shows, July 8th in Fort Lauderdale and the next night in Houston. Her manager, Adam Kluger, describes her show as she'll be vibing some records and she'll do a live Q&A with the audience and have some one-on-one moments with people on the stage.
About what?
Like, she'll be, like, roasting them. Apparently, like, that's her thing now.
Okay.
And she'll just, like, watch. She has, like, a YouTube channel where she'll just, like, watch videos and just make fun of people. But the whole vibing some records part, so she's just, like, going to play some music and just, like, bob her head to it. $50,000 an appearance if the shows sell out.
I'll do that for $20.
Her manager continued saying the reason why teenagers and young adults are so interested in her is because she's refreshingly honest. She doesn't care how a 14-year-old is supposed to act. She said her demands for this tour are nothing less than 4-star hotels, 3 fidget spinners.
What?
Are $2 a piece.
Why do you need 3? Whatever.
5 Gildan or Fruit of the Loom brand white tank tops. Absolutely no Hanes brand. 4 large Domino pizzas. 1 fruit platter, but no pineapple. Okay. And a 50-inch TV with Netflix and a DVD player for viewing Paris Hilton in House of Wax.
This is like the most immature 14-year-old list of things who's going to be making a bunch of money that
why does
I've
she,
ever seen.
Why does she need to demand? Why does she add in the fact that she's going to use the TV to watch House of Wax, a movie that was released like a decade ago? Like, okay, you can watch whatever you want on it. That's the only movie she's going
to
watch?
Also, I like how she has to specify with Netflix. Like, I think all TVs pretty much have Netflix. And why stop at 50 inches?
She's being reasonable in her demands.
Well, that's nice.
If these shows sell out, then I will no longer recognize this country. Would you go to that if you came into Kansas City?
No, you'd have to pay me.
Not for $10?
No.
You wouldn't go for 10?
No.
What if your girlfriend, what if Stacy?
Nope. Sorry.
Text you and said, how many years have you guys been dating?
About 2.5.
Hey, babe, for our 3-year anniversary, I really want you to take me to see the Catch Me Outside girl at the Sprint Center. You'd say no.
Nope.
You'd say no to your girlfriend.
I would.
Wow.
Hey, you can go that with one of your friends. We'll do an anniversary night another night.
Let's take this this news break to the continent of Africa.
Here's a story.
Where Theunis Botha, he was a big game hunting guide, and he was killed last week by an elephant. And elephants, along with leopards, are his specialty. He owns gaming reserves and lodges in 3 separate countries in Africa. He had kind of made a name for himself as a big game hunting guide the way that he uses hounds, big hounds, to corral gazelles and lion and leopards and elephants. And they were out hunting, and 3 elephants started to storm some of the hunters, and Botha shot at one of them. And then there was a 4th elephant that came from the side, lifted him up with the trunk. Another one of the hunters shot the elephant. The elephant fell down and died. But in doing so, it fell on top of this guy and killed him instantly as well.
I thought hunting elephants was illegal.
Well, they're an endangered animal. They're an endangered species. I think it is.
Isn't that the big part of like the ivory trade?
Right. There's less than like 500,000 of them left on the planet. And at one point, they were up to like 2 or 4 million of them. But once big game hunting got big, the numbers decreased dramatically and they became an endangered species. Do you feel remorse for this guy?
I mean, if he was hunting elephants just in general, not really. Because if that was illegal and they're endangered, no, not really.
It's like, I get the hunting. I'm not against hunting in general, but you're hunting elephants.
Right.
You're hunting them purely for game, for sport. You're not hunting them because they're going to provide food for you. Like, you're hunting them because you already have tons of money. Those are the types of people that go on these big game expeditions. They're people who have, most cases, millions of dollars, because it costs you hundreds of thousands of dollars to go on these hunting expeditions in the first place. So, to be honest, it is kind of hard for me to feel any sort of remorse. I'm sorry for his family. I know he has a wife and kids who survive him, which is, it's unfortunate for them. But if you're hunting giant wild animals, this is kind of what you sign up for, right?
Did you know that elephants kill over like 500 people a year? They actually kill more people than like sharks, lions, all kinds of animals.
How so?
Well, a lot of the times it's on accident. So, like, in certain countries in the Middle East or in Africa, they have elephants just kind of roaming around, or people use them with the things on the back where you can use them as rides. And a lot of times accidents happen. The elephant will sit down on a person on accident, or it'll just, whatever, something bad will happen, collapse on a person, and they'll die. So they end up killing over, like, 500 people a year, and they're one of the top 10 deadliest animals in terms of, I guess, casualties.
Remember, mosquitoes are number one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're classified as animals, but they are one of the deadliest organisms on the face of the earth. This is your Tuesday news break on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. A woman who found a bag of moon dust at an online auction sale 2 years ago is about to make a lot of money. Nancy Lee Carlson bought a small white pouch titled Lunar Sample Return on a government auction website 2 years ago for $995. After being researched and inspected by Sotheby's,
it was in that one 30 for 30 documentary where they sold off the rules.
Yeah, it's like the biggest auction in the world. It's in England, and it's expected to go for around anywhere from $2 to $4 million when it's auctioned off next month. And it's so expensive because it was found to have sprinkles of moon dust. Now, she initially kept the bag in her bedroom closet, and then once it started getting national attention, she sent it to NASA to verify that it actually had moon dust or particles in it. NASA confirmed that it did, but once they found out that, they confiscated it as government property. They said, no, this is ours. We don't let people own stuff from space, so this is actually ours, and you can't have it back. Carlson, who's an attorney, she's like, wait a minute, you can't do that. She files a federal lawsuit in February. A judge concluded that, no, this is legally yours. You bought, it was auctioned off. You paid for it. This is yours. So they made NASA give her the stuff back. So apparently, this was moon dust, like, brought back to Earth by Neil Armstrong.
I don't know what's that, you know, what's in that 1969. Light do up
there? He turned the bag over to a Houston lab, which took the rocks out but left the dust in, and they lost track of it. So the bag ends up in the possession of this guy, Max Ari, who ran a museum in Hutchinson, who, if you went to grade school in Kansas, I guarantee you've been there, the Kansas Cosmosphere. I remember going there in junior high. And this guy who ran that museum was convicted of stealing and selling space objects, so government officials seized his possessions and sold them for restitution. And among the items that were sold was this bag of moon dust. So this bag gets mixed up, it gets confused for another bag that didn't contain moon dust, and that's how it got auctioned off. So Carlson bought the pouch, and then she sent it off to NASA. NASA got mad. She won the court battle. NASA said that, quote, we believe it belongs to the American people and should be on display for the public, which is where it was before all of these unfortunate events occurred. The court system said, we don't care. It's not yours anymore. So the bag is expected to go for so much because NASA's going to be in on the bidding, right? And they're not going to let anybody else outbid them. Is this how I'm to believe this is going to happen?
Which, that seems so ridiculous that NASA just has all reign over space. Why do they get to have everything from space? Why is it their property?
Well, they're the ones sending people to space.
So?
I didn't even realize this. A human being has not set foot on the moon since I've been alive. No one's been to the moon since 72.
Wow. That does seem like a long time.
Well, I'm guessing they just got up there and realized there wasn't much going on.
It's kind of a big rock.
Well, they're like, okay, there ain't much else going on here. So she's going to sell this. She bought it for $1,000. She's about to become a millionaire off of it. And she said she's going to donate the money to charity and stuff. Wouldn't you want to keep that? Knowing that you're the only person on the planet, the only human being on the planet to possess moon dust.
No, if you want the best business opportunity, take half of it out of the bag, keep half, sell the other half.
I'd experiment with it, man. Sprinkle some of my pancakes in the morning. I don't know. Maybe just throw it into some cooking, just to see if it gives you any sort of lunar powers. Maybe roll it up into a doobie, see what happens.
Space doobie.
I just wonder, man. It would just be cool to have that kind of. It doesn't do anything. Why does NASA care?
So then why not sell it?
Why does NASA care?
Exactly.
It's moon dust. It doesn't. It's just like graphite, man. It's just.
They just don't want anyone to be as cool as them. Get space stuff.
Isn't NASA, it's a government entity, so don't we pay for NASA? Are taxpayers paying for this?
That is very true. So if NASA just goes out there and bids like $10 million?
Right, because NASA's had their funding cut.
Yeah.
They're not getting as much money. So if they're out there spending $2, $3 million on moon dust, then I'm not going to have much sympathy for them if the government continues to cut their funding. Last month, we talked about the art of cockfighting and these cockfighting rings that are being busted in Montana and Idaho and Louisiana. And I believe that is where our most recent news of cockfighting, right?
It was a couple days ago.
And did it take place in Louisiana?
No, this was actually California.
Santa Clarita Valley.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my!
What, is that where you're from?
Yeah, that's where I went to high school. Hold on, I want to text to see if any of my friends are in jail.
So this is illegal. It was as of about 3 years ago. You could still participate in cockfighting rings in like three states. I know Louisiana was one of them, but since then it's been banned nationwide. 7,000 birds were recovered in this massive scandal. It's the largest raid of a cockfighting scandal in U.S. history. The operation involved about 100 personnel, also led to seizure of firearms, illegal narcotics, fighting pits, the slashers, the claws, those steel claws that they put on the end of these birds to, like, just make for these gruesome, horrific wounds, syringes, steroids. Most of these birds are pumped full of steroids. Law enforcement on horseback aided in the bust. And one of the law enforcement officials said as some of the suspects at the scene tried to run up through the canyons, because this was like an outdoor deal where most of them are indoors in these giant barns and sheds, from there where there were no roads accessible by vehicle, they detained about 10 people on the scene, most of which the law enforcement officials said were lower-level workers at the operation, including animal caretakers. Cockfighting rings are so fascinating to me, simply because I don't understand why so many people... They're big in Mexico. Like, they still go on in Mexico because it's legal down there. And, like, I've seen videos of little girls will have, like, their birthday parties there. And it's just gambling. It's the same thing with... You wonder why people... Why Michael Vick did dogfighting. And you know what? There's no reason for it, but if you're trying to get inside of their heads, is they're making tons of money off of it. Like, that's the reason why they're doing it. They own these rings. They own dogs. People bet money on them. They continue to win. It's lucrative. It's a terrible way to make a dollar, but 7,000 birds were recovered in this. So your girlfriend says, Stacy calls you and says, Derek, for my 3-year anniversary, I either want to go to...
I have a lot to do on my anniversary.
I either want to go do the Cash Me Outside...
Oh, no.
...show, or I want to go to a cockfight. Where are you taking her?
Let's go to the cockfight.
Wow.
Be more of a cultural
be illegal. Experience. Be illegal, by the way. Yeah. You'd rather break the law than go see the Cash Me Outside girl. That's yes. What you're telling me.
Yes.
All right, final story. Kansas City could be getting a new airport. I know they're expected to... they're going to have a discussion about it tonight in Kansas City. Burns and McDonnell, a private firm, proposing $1 billion single terminal KCI, which would not be paid for by taxpayers, but by airport users. And one of the spokespeople for the firm said that it would amount to a traveler. Okay. I don't want to hear planes crashing as I'm talking about a new airport. They say that the added fees would be like the equivalent of buying a bottle of water or buying a beer every time you go to the airport. So probably, you know, $5 to $10 extra. You fly, right, because you're from California quite mm-hmm. often. Do you like the Kansas City airport?
It's nice if you want to get in and out quickly, but if you have to be there for a while, it's probably the worst airport there is because there's just no good food choices. I mean, it's so limited. There's just the, like one restaurant in there. I think it's called like the Pork.
Well,
and
why
Pickle.
Would you ever have to be there for very long?
Okay, let's say your plane gets delayed. I had a plane where I boarded it. It was a flight at like 7:30 in the morning. So you're talking getting up at like 5 in the morning. Get over there. You get on the plane. All of a sudden, deboards. There's an issue with the plane, and my plane got delayed till like 1:00. So I'm just sitting there, and there's nothing to do. And this happened maybe a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a little sketchy in that. It's a private bid. Like, this one firm's the only one to do it. They reached an agreement with this firm, and we didn't hear about any other firms who are bidding to, like, have their proposal, which seems a little bit sketchy, but, I mean, it almost seems too good to be true that you don't have to pay for it if you don't fly. It's not like Kansas City residents are going to be asked to foot the bill for this.
Yeah. Is this going to be in Kansas City, Kansas, as opposed to Kansas City, Missouri?
Not sure. I don't know if they...
Because if they're going with KCI, where there's already an MCI, then you would think that maybe they're going to put it in KCK, which would be very beneficial for us because that's 20 minutes closer.
Yeah, I don't think that they have... At least I haven't seen that they have pinpointed a location to where this would be. But I know that in November, Kansas City residents are going to get to vote on this. And Mayor Sly James has kind of said that if they don't pass this, then there are airlines who are threatening to just stop coming to Kansas City altogether because, from their perspective, Kansas City is a really difficult airport because of the three terminals, which makes it great mm-hmm. for and convenient for travelers. But I'd imagine they're going to get this done.
Yeah.
$1 million seems like a lot, but you're not paying for it unless you're flying. And if you are flying, the cost is going to be pretty minimal, at least as what it seems. Now, maybe in the next couple months, we'll find out that there's all of these hidden stipulations and fees that you're going to have to pay. And maybe the vote won't pass, but you have until November to vote. And I would guess that they're going to get this done. That is your Tuesday news break. It is Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World joins us next.